I saw the mountains and I was like, okay, that's it. So one of the first things that my dive instructor told me was, if you want to be a millionaire, please don't be a dive professional. I think it's the best thing when you wake up every morning and you're doing exactly what you love doing.
You're listening to the Remote Explorers Podcast, a show that allows you to connect, learn, and be inspired by the stories of people who have used the power of remote work to have unconventional experiences in their lives. The podcast is hosted by Mayur and Shahzada, who are experienced and equally curious remote workers.
Hello everyone. Welcome to the Remote Explorers Podcast. This is me, Shahzada. And today on the episode, we have someone who is a mountaineer and also a scuba diving instructor. A very fun combination to have, right? So we are talking about Madhushree. Madhushree is an adventurer and she's committed to finding ways to make the outdoors a lifestyle that is sustainable. She's committed to helping people to build a mind-body connection, which can then be taken to the outdoors. So Mayur met Madhushree at Nomad Gaon, Goa. She's currently working on a book about the Himalayas while she's helping an NGO in Goa to protect the coral reefs, the local coral reefs in the Goan region. In the episode, we talked to her about what was her inspiration to get into a career like adventure sports, and also where did she find that willpower to be able to go forward with this. We also ask her how was she able to overcome the challenges she had about limiting beliefs. She shares her experience of being a scuba diving instructor and how it feels to be underwater. She also talks about the importance of just taking a leap of faith in life and how it is very important to be intuitive and to listen to your heart while making decisions. She also briefly touches on how to make a career in mountaineering or scuba diving. So I'm sure this episode would be of a great value to all the listeners out there. Get ready for Madhushree on Remote Explorers Podcast. I hope you guys would enjoy and get some inspiration out of this.
So Madhushree, just tell us a little more about you, how you got into mountaineering. Like, was it there since your childhood? Because you come from Kolkata where there are no mountains. But if you go up to North Bengal and Sikkim, yes, there are mountains. So how did it all happen?
I think, you know, like a lot of other things in my life, it happened pretty randomly. So it wasn't something that I was sitting and planning or something that I knew that I wanted to do. So I remember listening to someone say that their friend had done like a mountaineering course and it's supposed to be really good and it's a 28-day course and all of that. So I mean, I knew nothing about climbing at that time, but I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this course. I don't know how, I mean, it just came to my mind. So anyway, like you said, there are no mountains in Kolkata, but I have also spent like a lot of time in the tea gardens in, you know, in North Bengal and stuff, because my dad was in the tea industry. So I have been seeing mountains and it's like, yeah, I mean, I cannot really describe this in words, but it's like I saw the mountains and I was like, okay, that's it.
Yeah. So, you know, you're currently writing for a publication about Himalayas, about, you know, so you're pretty much doing it remotely, right? So since when are you doing
totally. This is actually a pretty huge project. So we started last September, actually. So it should have been published by now, but because of COVID and all the restrictions, things got really, I mean, they came to a halt. But there is probably, I would say, around 20% work left on the book. And once that's done, it should be published. Yeah, hopefully COVID will be gone by then.
Wow. So are you writing the book? All the content is done by you or you're collaborating with a team of other writers?
No. I mean, the content is not mine at all. So this book was published by a Japanese publisher. So it's written by Japanese mountaineers. So they obviously wrote it in Japanese, and they also released like a translated version of the same book in English, which wasn't really that well made probably because, I don't know, because of the language. I mean, it's so different, Japanese and English. So then they wanted to get another edition out. So this time, my job was whatever the Japanese translator had already written in English, I had to go over that and completely edit and change everything.
Yeah. So Madhushree, one thing that I'm really curious to know about you is, in the common culture, you don't usually see people making a career in mountaineering or wanting to learn scuba diving. How was your experience being in your early 20s to decide and do and get into that, though the world tells you not to, like these are not the safe careers to be at? Where did you get that willpower? Where did you get that trust in yourself? Because it's very important at this moment, especially in this country, to address this, because I think it's right time for the young people here to open up and just do what they love, right? What would you want to say about that?
Well, first of all, I would say that I had really understanding parents. So that helped a lot. But it was also like a really, really scary thing for me to decide to do this, like on this scale, and not just get like a proper job and just, you know, making a career out of it. So I really don't know where I got the willpower from. I think it's the same thing that, you know, made me decide that, okay, I want to do the mountaineering course when I knew nothing about it. So,
but I just want to ask you, but did you from your childhood have this thing that I want to do something different?
Yes, always. Yeah. I was kind of a troublemaker at home as well.
Yeah.
I mean, always like climbing trees and walls and just falling and hurting myself and all of that. So yeah, it's not surprising that I ended up here. Yeah.
So what would you want to tell to the people who really want to do something different, but in the common trajectory of what the culture tells us that it's not, they are not safe professions.
Mm-hmm.
And as the world is changing, things are becoming digital.
Yeah.
You can make your earnings just by having a good social media handle and using that to generate income and also keep doing what you love. What would you want to tell those people how should they trust themselves and go with the flow?
Well, you know, I remember very clearly asking the same question to somebody who had made a transition from like a corporate job to becoming like a mountain guide and professional. So I remember what he told me: you just have to take a leap of faith. I mean, you really cannot just sit here and be like, okay, this is my path, this is exactly how it's supposed to go. You have to find that strength within yourself that, okay, this is worth a try. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But you need to get that strength from within yourself. That's very, very important. And also another thing I would say is that because the Indian culture is so different, like you said, these things are not considered to be like safe options. One has to be like really persistent. You cannot give up easily. So you will like have a lot of different hurdles along the way. And it still scares me sometimes. I mean, okay, fine, I've done quite a bit in the field, but it's still scary because, like you said, it's not a safe option. So be persistent and take a leap of faith. I mean, yeah, that's pretty much the best thing I can say.
Yeah. So Madhushree, mountains, I can understand because you've been going to mountains since childhood. How did the transition to scuba diving happen? Like, I remember you telling me that you were not always a beach or, you know, sea person. And then you chose to do scuba diving. Why?
Again, a very random thing. Like, I wouldn't call them random, but they're more like, you know, these, you know, like as a gut feeling that, okay, there's something I should do. and you go ahead and do it. So basically how it happened was in 2017, I lost my dad and he was really into the ocean. So a lot of our trips when I was a kid and all through the years, we would just go to some beach somewhere, you know, that was his thing. And I was always a mountain person. So after he passed away, I pretty much just decided to come to Goa for like a month or so. I was like, okay, I just want to get out of here and do something else. And I came here and one thing led to another. And then I did my open water course and it just started from there, I think. But at first, I mean, I did want to get my open water certification, but I never thought that I would go the professional route. So that was, again, it was something intuitive. It came to me and I kind of had to find the strength to, you know, say that, okay, let me just try doing it. So.
Because you're doing so many diverse things, how do you find the information? If, let's say, somebody's listening to this podcast and wants to kind of use you as the inspiration and try to live this life, how would they find information about how to make career in mountaineering or how to make career as a scuba diver, professional scuba diver? Or
well, I think for diving, it's a little more, I would say, easily found, the information. So you can just go on Google and you can find all the different courses and the international agencies that are running those courses. And then you basically find a dive center of your own choosing and you speak to them, you do the course, and that's how you progress. Mountaineering can be a little tricky in my experience. I'm not sure if tricky is the right word, but as far as I know, in India, we've got the basic mountaineering course and the advanced mountaineering course, followed by rescue. So basically these government institutions, they run these courses. They're usually 28-day courses. And you have to book it like pretty much in advance because the seats get filled up really, really quickly. And that's how you do it, basically. Another thing I can think of is probably you start trekking. If you're into other kind of, you know, like adventure sports, like trail running or cycling and stuff like that. But one thing I would say is that I never really had a clear path in front of me. So I had to figure things out and I'm still doing that. So even now I think, you know, there's so much I don't know. So I have to keep on trying things. And every time you try something new, there is always a chance that, you know, you might fail. But yeah, it's like you just have to keep going, like moving forward. And yeah, just give it your all, I think.
It's so exciting and interesting that all of this comes so naturally to you, right? Like it doesn't feel like you have to try hard to follow this path. So I am inspired.
I just want to ask her experience of diving, because I did it. I did scuba diving for the first time in Sri Lanka. And when I did it, it opened a possibility of the world that did not exist for me in my reality. So the world inside those oceans, I was like, there's so much that I've never seen it. There's so much to explore inside. How was your first experience and what happened there that made you go more deeper and get into the professionals of it?
Well, first of all, like you said, like it's a completely different world. So initially you're excited. But there's like a lot of challenges that come with it, like a lot of different skills that you have to practice. It's not like you just go diving and you just swim around and just, you know, be with the fish and come back. So you literally have to perform skills underwater at the surface and all of that. So when I did my open water, it was pretty much fun. Advanced was also fun. But there was also like the real aspects of it. I mean, there's a lot of, I'm not sure how to phrase this, but a lot of, you need to be able to connect with yourself to the point where you're feeling comfortable in that environment. So for first time divers, I think it's the buoyancy aspect is very, very crucial because you don't know anything about how to maintain neutral buoyancy, and you're just bumping into rocks and corals and getting hurt. So it's kind of like, it was scary. I mean, I was never hydrophobic, so I wouldn't say that I was terrified, but it was a new experience. And again, I don't know what this is, but I have this thing where I'm like, okay, if I've started something and if I like doing it, I'm going to go all the way. So it's kind of like the two extremes for me, which is, yeah, not always easy to find the middle ground.
So, you know, interestingly, my first diving experience was also something that Shehzada described, right?
But I think one thing that that comes out very prominently here is that if people want to stay connected with nature, there are ways that you can professionally indulge with nature, either to protect it or to be in it, or to train people how to be around, what are the sustainable ways to be around those elements of nature, and still make a living out of it and enjoy the idea of being in nature, right?
But it's not easy.
Yeah.
So one of the first things that my dive instructor told me was, if you want to be a millionaire, please don't be a dive professional, because you won't be. I mean, you can pretty much, that's a given, but you'll get to do something that you love. And I think it's the best thing when you wake up every morning and you're doing exactly what you love doing. But there are sacrifices to be made as well. So it's not just, you know, the glamorous side where you're on the mountains or you're underwater. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. So a lot of sacrificing. And so it's not going to be easy, you know. And that is something I've learned in the past few years, because I really did not have like a blueprint in front of me. Like, okay, this is where I'm supposed to go. This is what I'm supposed to do. So I've pretty much been figuring out things by myself. And even now I can say that, you know, there's so much more. I mean, I know I've said this many times in the past 20 minutes, but there's just so much changing and evolving all the time. And you just have to roll with it and keep learning.
I remember you telling me that when we talk about sustainability and all, you told me once that your diving center, they are so strict that you can't even apply sunscreen while going for a dive.
Right.
So these are the sacrifices that you will have to make as a professional looking into it in a sustainability angle, right?
Yeah, there's also a big conservation angle to the whole thing. And that's also part of what I do in Goa, along with my dive center. We also have an NGO. So we do a lot of conservation work, and then, you know, like coral regeneration and transplant. Like, there's a lot of coral damage here in Goa, maybe because of environmental reasons, or even because, you know, all these fishing boats will just go out there and dropping anchors and stuff. So there's a lot of damage that happens underwater. So we are trying to preserve that as well. So we do have a very strict no sunscreen policy, which is, most of the times people do listen to it, but sometimes maybe they don't. But yeah, it's something that we don't do, like at least the ones, you know, because we have to set an example in front of people. Like, yeah. So just small things like that, you know, and you just have to get used to it.
People who are listening to this podcast right now, of course, it's not easy to do things what Madhushri does, but it gets a little more easy when there are people who are doing it and they share their stories with you. So anytime there's something anybody want to do, if there's an example for that, then things become a little more easier. Okay, agar, you know, if that person can do it, maybe I can also as well do that.
Yeah, totally.
And I think if people want inspiration, Remote Explorers podcast is a great start, right? Because so far in last 8-9 episodes, we have had so many conversations about people living upbeat life, people doing something that's not normal. And if there is somebody who wants to live that way but don't know anybody who is living that way, I think this is the place to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's great to have examples, but at the same time, you know, you have to find your own way. Your journey is not going to be the same, like the exact same thing as somebody else's. So it is great to get like some example in front of you and some inspiration and see, okay, maybe I can also do it. But then you again have to find your own way. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
So Madhusree, you're on another journey now. You know, you had many injuries during mountaineering, during diving, and now you are pursuing fitness certification so that you know your body, you know your anatomy better, so that such injuries won't happen going forward, or whatever has happened will heal. So can you tell us more about the fitness certification that you are doing?
Okay, so yeah, like you said, I had a lot of injuries that I still struggle with actually. And because I'm also into diving and it's like a lot of heavy lifting, like tanks and, you know, a lot of it's physically hard work. So that kind of just keeps on aggravating the injury. That doesn't give me enough time to heal from it or to even figure out like how to do it, because visiting orthopedics and popping, you know, painkillers is not a long-term solution. So you have to do stuff that you can do sustainably, I think. So the reason why I'm doing the fitness certification is, of course, I want to understand about my own self. And at the same time, I would like to, you know, if my experience and if my knowledge can help somebody else out there, then that would also be great. Because in fitness, like, I would like to focus on the corrective exercise side to it, where you basically deal with movement patterns, like very basic movement patterns, like even the way you're sitting, the way you're walking. And I think a lot of injuries that happen to us, they don't happen during, you know, like when we are maybe playing a sport or something. That's a possibility. But when we are also repeating the same movement patterns again and again and again for years, that also affects the human body a lot. So I think I'm really interested in the concept of like movement and mobility and how we can prevent a lot of injuries and a lot of, you know, diseases that we have by just knowing the very basics. And this is, again, like, this is a very fundamental part. I mean, we just learn to walk when we are young. I mean we just do it on our own, right? But as we grow older, I think there's so much in there that you can focus on, and you can analyze your own posture and your own movement patterns. And yeah, and then I think I would like to bring this sort of awareness into outdoor sports, because the risk of injury in the outdoors is definitely very, very high. So if you're not aware of your body, and there's a mind-body connection. So it's good to push, okay? It's good to say that, okay, that's my limit and I want to, you know, I want to see what I can do and all of that. But sometimes it's also wise to just stop. So you need to find that balance where you can be like, okay, this is probably too much for me right now. So I'm going to take a step back. I'm probably going to train better and I will try it again. So that sort of awareness, I think, is very, very important. So my interest, I mean, this just came about like organically, you know, like climbing and then diving and this fitness, the corrective exercise part that I want to go on. So, I mean, I never planned it like this, but it's like everything's just coming together at this point in time. So I think, I think that's great. Yeah.
So I think it's happening subconsciously, right?
Yes, yes.
It might look random, but it's not really random, because there is, when you connect the dots, it's all falling in the same line.
But you have to listen to your intuition. Otherwise nothing can help you. It's like you have to take that leap of faith and then things start happening. And even though it's difficult, but it's still a lot of fun.
It is for sure.
Yeah.
When you take the path of the intuition, there's always this sense of uncertainty. You don't really know where you're going, but that keeps you on the toes all the time to learn more, to be curious, and to experiment with yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
So Madhusri, you're also developing your website. What is it about? Is it about scuba diving, mountaineering, or something else altogether, or a mission to Mars or something like that, you know?
No mission to Mars. Although that would be a good thing, because the Earth is in a terrible position right now. But anyway, so my plan with the website is, again, like, I'm combining a lot of different things, everything that I'm doing, and then finding a balance. And like I said, the mind-body connection is something that really resonates with me. So that is one part of it. Then another thing would be the fact that, you know, physical training does not have to be, you don't always really need the gym or like a fancy membership or something of that sort in order to be fit and healthy. I'm really into bodyweight exercises and calisthenics and all that, the fitness side to it, and making sure that I'm doing it in a way that is sustainable so that I don't meet with I don't have an injury tomorrow that's going to be the end of my outdoor career. So that is, I mean, my website is really fitness oriented, but not in the traditional sense of the term. Like, I want people to be able to listen to their bodies, to understand when to stop, and build that connection so that they can take it to the outdoors and take it to a sport that is high risk.
Thank you, Madhusri. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today on the show.
Thank you so much.
It was really nice to have you and listen to your experiences and insights. And I'm sure the listeners of this podcast would relate to the idea of following your heart, following your intuition. And just dreaming wild
and knowing where to stop.
Yeah,
exactly.
And knowing where to stop.
Exactly. Yeah.
Knowing where to stop. Yes.
Yeah. So you don't just want to go all out and then burn out.
Yeah.
You need it to be sustainable. You should be able to do it.
Or you don't want to have like 4 or 5 coffees a day.
Or maybe more. I know you're talking about me. Yeah. I need to cut down on my caffeine intake. Yeah.
Thanks, Madhusri.